Support for KNKX comes from WSECU, now offering 3 new Visa credit cards and 3 new checking accounts, with benefits that fit a variety of lifestyles and financial needs. More information is available at WSECU.org. WSECU, serving Washington since 1957.
Hey, this is Sound Effect. I am Gabriel Spitzer. I'm here with producer Bethany Jo Denton.
Full name this time.
Yeah, I thought I'd throw in your Joe. Is that
yeah,
cool?
Yeah, that's fair.
This is our midweek podcast drop where we listen to a story from last week's show. The theme last week was squeaky wheel, and so this is one of our tales of a squeaky wheel, and then stay tuned at the end. We'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that didn't make it into the final cut. So here it is from Sound Effect on KNKX. When she was growing up, Cece Moore really wanted to go to law school or become a journalist, but in a strange twist of parental expectations, her family pressured her to pursue acting. And for years, she did musical theater and commercials, but she never really got rid of that investigative bug.
When I was little, I made my mom buy me every Nancy Drew book in the series, which was like over 100. And I look back and laugh at that a little bit now, because I never had the intention or even the thought to go into law enforcement.
Eventually, Moore found a new passion to pursue, one that would bring her closer to those detective stories than she ever could have imagined. These days, Cece Moore helps catch killers. This began, innocently enough, with a little amateur genealogy.
My niece was getting married, and I thought it would be a good wedding present to give her a family tree. I thought I could just throw one together, package it up nice, give it to her for her wedding. I got a little obsessed. It just started as a hobby. But when I saw the potential of it, I kind of dropped everything else I was doing. I barely knew what a blog was, but, you know, it was easy to start one. And so I started writing up the research I was finding in my own family, and I was just amazed at the readership I was getting. People started coming to me for help with their research. In particular, people that had found out that their father was not their biological father because they had taken a DNA test. And adoptees also were asking me, do you think you could use these methodologies you've been creating and this data to help me find my birth parents or my birth grandparents in some case? We've seen tens of thousands of people find their family and have happy reunions. Doesn't always turn out happily, but the vast majority of the time it does. And although I respect the privacy of birth parents who don't want to have a relationship, I still believe very strongly that everybody deserves to know where they come from. Everyone has the right to their biological heritage. They don't necessarily have a right to a relationship with their birth parents or birth families. That's everyone's personal choice. But as a genealogist, I just felt very strongly that everyone has that right to learn about where they came from, and I mean genetically where they came from. And so I thought I would go about helping to right what I saw as a societal wrong. So yeah, you spit in that tube and send it in to Ancestry DNA or 23andMe. And if you opt into matching, then they will compare you to everyone else who's already in that database. And that has helped us resolve so many people's family mysteries. Most of what I do is still manual. I am looking at that list of matches. That's what's important here. And we're hoping to find someone who is a second cousin or closer. So I'm looking at the top of that list, who shares the most DNA, and then what I'm looking at is their family tree, trying to figure out where this adoptee or this suspect fits. And that is the same methodologies that eventually ended up being used for the Golden State Killer arrest.
Police say they now have the Golden State Killer in custody.
And they use DNA testing to find him. So many families are relieved this morning.
In April of 2018, Joseph James DeAngelo was arrested for a string of unsolved murders in California. Law enforcement officials had had the idea of comparing DNA from a crime scene with DNA from people who took one of those commercial tests. They connected the dots and made an arrest. And all of a sudden, the methods that Cece Moore had been using to unite family members were getting all kinds of new attention.
So because I had worked a lot of high-profile cases, I had been contacted quite a few times over the last few years by law enforcement personnel, by detectives or district attorneys, coroners, people who thought outside the box, who saw what I was doing and said, is this applicable to identification in law enforcement cases? And I knew that there was potential for that, but it was something that I declined to do until recently. And GEDmatch was the only possibility, but it was too small for a long time. Until recently, that database would have been too small to get anywhere on these cases.
And that's another company that does similar kind of work?
So GEDmatch isn't exactly a company. They're not a DNA testing company, I should say. You don't send your DNA in and it gets tested. They are a repository for raw data files from the DNA companies. So if you've tested at Ancestry DNA or 23andMe or one of the other companies like that, you can download a raw data file that contains your DNA signature. And you can choose to upload that to GEDmatch, which is a public database. And that's the only time that we would be using your DNA for law enforcement purposes. In fact, I can explain it a little bit with the Snohomish County case, the Jay Cook and Tanya Van Culenberg case.
Investigators in Washington State are pushing hard tonight for a breakthrough in a cold case murder that has been unsolved for more than two decades.
So this was a case where it was a double murder. It was a young Canadian couple that had come down into Washington State to do an errand for one of their fathers, and they never made it home. And the woman was found sexually assaulted and murdered. And in a different place, the male was found murdered brutally. And this was over 30 years ago. And so this person that committed this crime had been, you know, getting away with this for decades.
Investigators did have a sample of the killer's DNA. So they plugged it into the database and waited for Cece Moore to do her work.
They uploaded it on a Friday night, and I woke up Saturday morning to the matches. It takes, you know, between about 8 hours and 2 days to get a list of matches. And I could see right away it was a really promising case. We had two people that shared about enough DNA with the unknown suspect to be second cousins. I identify who these matches are based on the information that's provided in GEDmatch, and then I build their family trees back to great-grandparents. Because if you're second cousins, you share your great-grandparents. And then we have to flip the tree upside down and do what I called reverse genealogy. Instead of trying to find dead people, we're now trying to find living people who descend from these sets of great-grandparents in each of the trees. So as I started building forward in time from these identified great-grandparents, I found one person from one tree who married a person from the other tree. So a descendant of the first match's great-grandparents and a descendant of the second match's great-grandparents married. And when I looked at this family structure, I realized they only had one son. So that one son would be carrying that correct mix of ancestral DNA to be the unknown suspect. And by Monday, I could provide the detectives with his name, which was William Earl Talbot II. So then they have to build the case. They can't go arrest someone based on what I tell them, of course. I'm just providing a highly scientific tip. So they did great work. They started surveilling him, and they had to follow him, from what I understand, for quite a while until they were able to pick up a discarded cup and get that discarded DNA, which they are legally allowed to test. And they got an exact match. And so that gave them what they needed to be able to arrest him, which they then did.
And was he convicted?
Oh, it hasn't gone to trial yet. This is still so new. I've only been doing work with law enforcement for 3.5 months. We've had 7 arrests. So it's moved fast, but nothing has made it to trial yet. We still have a long way to go. People ask me all the time, how does this feel when you realize you found the person, or you think you have found the person, I should say. And it's not like it is with adoption, because with adoption, I know that there's a really good chance for a happy ending, that they'll be welcomed by at least one family member. And in these, I know there's no happy endings. You know, the damage is done. The victim is already gone in most places, or extremely damaged in others. There's no going back. The families have been affected forever. I guess my greatest hope is that this could work as a deterrent. Some people who might act in passion, maybe if they just thought for a moment that it's getting easier to get caught. There are going to be less and less cold cases out there because we're going to be able to resolve dozens or hundreds of these over the next months and years. And so I do hope that it might cause someone to stop and think and say, well, you know what? I better not do this. Maybe that'll save lives, both on the side of the victim and of the perpetrator. Everyone would always say to me, you know, one day everything you've done will make sense. And so now it does kind of all make sense, but I could never have imagined it would lead here. I really felt my life's work was helping adoptees and others of unknown parentage. So this is almost come full circle back to my Nancy Drew days.
Cece Moore is a genetic genealogist based in California. When she's not helping solve murders, she consults as an expert on the PBS series, Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates Jr. Gabriel Spitzer here with producer Bethany Denton. So that story that we just heard was 10 minutes long or something like that, but we talked to Cece for quite a while, and there were some pretty interesting and unique chapters of her story that we didn't have time to put into this edited interview. What's one of them that sticks with you, Bethany?
Yeah, one thing that we really only got to touch on for half a sentence was Cece's career before she got into genealogy at all. She worked as a model, she was in commercials, and really thought that that was her career, that was going to be her path, her industry.
And it sounds like, you know, she said to me that it was a bit of a mixed blessing, because on the one hand, it has prepared her to be a public figure and talk to the media. But on the other hand, it's a little bit of an albatross in the sense that she's already facing a little bit of an uphill battle to get, you know, full recognition and professional respect from colleagues, because she's not a PhD.
Right. That was something else that she mentioned, is like, not only is she not PhD, but she doesn't have any kind of science degree. She's really completely self-taught. And that has, you know, been a challenge for her in some regards. You know, she talked about how she's often on these panels talking about the work that she does. And she'll be sharing the stage with people with very high credentials, PhDs, and years and years and years of experience in academia. And said that she can sometimes feel intimidated, but that ultimately, you know, the work that she does speaks for itself.
Yeah. Why don't we listen to a little bit of that tape that we had to leave on the cutting room floor there of her talking about this portion of her career?
There still are no degree programs in genetic genealogy. There's no certification or licensing. There's really no even set way to learn it or to become one. I get lots of people writing me saying, how do I become, you know, a genetic genealogist? How do I do what you're doing? So it has been interesting as a woman, as, you know, a non-scientist. But sometimes you need innovation that comes from outside a field to push things forward, I think. And the fact I do come from a more creative background might have even helped. When people are taught things in school, they're taught a very specific way of doing it. And I have met some scientists or people with science backgrounds that had a hard time wrapping their head around genetic genealogy, at least initially, because it was so different. It was a different application of the science that they knew so well.
And do you ever have trouble being accepted or taken seriously by people with those kind of credentials that you don't have?
I think maybe at first I did, because there was still a lot of doubt about what we were doing. But when you reunited thousands of biological family members and you get that proof in the end where the person does the confirmation test and it's right, you found the biological parent, it becomes harder and harder to be a naysayer about how we're using the science.
One other thing I just wanted to touch on was, and we got into it in the piece a bit, was, you know, her work with adoptees and people of unknown parentage includes people who were adopted under, you know, a so-called no-contact adoption. And this was even more common, you know, going back decades than it is now. But she had a really interesting take on it. And I know that that was something that sort of piqued your interest too, Bethany.
That no matter what, a child born under these circumstances has the right to their biological heritage.
Still pretty controversial, though, right?
I mean,
this could certainly turn somebody's life upside down if you get a phone call that you're not expecting one day.
Certainly. And to be clear, like, I mean, just me as a person, I don't know how I feel about that, frankly. It's certainly murky waters, and seems like it is a decision that is best made case by case. But in, Cece, I think, really made a compelling argument for why she did that, even in the face of these no contact adoptions.
Yeah, what a fascinating person, fascinating life's course. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking about it, Bethany.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure.
And be sure to check your feed this weekend. We'll have our usual full show dropping on Saturday. And in the meantime, for Bethany Jo Denton and the sound effect team, I am Gabriel Spitzer. Good enough?
Yeah.
All right.